talk about Sarah. Yeah, I did promise it, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to deliver. I don't know why God brings up Abraham first. It should be ladies first, that's right. Right, the best comes last. You save the best for last, and that's what we're doing here. But she's not last. She's stuck in the middle with you. Here she comes. Sarah, formerly Sarai. Yeah, I'm not really having it for her like Tryphena and Tryphosa and Phoebe. Not yet. Well, she's a married woman. Tryphena, Tryphosa, Phoebe, they were single. I just know. Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zender. Welcome to another edition of the Martin Zender Show. And we're in Hebrews 11 talking about heroes of faith. And one of the heavy hitters has to be Abraham, called out into another place, comes out into the place he was about to obtain to enjoy an allotment, came out not versed where he is coming. Reminds me of my favorite movie, Field of Dreams. If you build it, he will come. And Kevin Costner had no idea what he was supposed to build and who was supposed to come. And as I told you, same thing happened with me, except I didn't hear an audible voice. When I started this work, I knew you were out there. I remember telling my wife, I said, I just know, I just have this feeling. It's almost like the movie line. Kevin Costner says, I just feel we got to build this baseball field in the middle of nowhere. I know these people are out there. We don't have any subscribers now, but I'm going to write this newsletter. I'm going to throw myself into it. It's going to have illustrations and cartoons, and it's going to be freewheeling and fun, and I'm going to be honest, and I'm going to talk about my life, and people are going to relate to it because this guy's real. And she said, you're out of your mind. I said, quite possibly. However, I know you're out, and there you are. I know you're out there, and there you are. This is my justification today, 20 years later. I knew it, and I'm still doing this because you were out there. You are out there, and you had been waiting for this. Many of you didn't even know it. You've gone out. We've all gone out into lands of which we were not aware, not versed in where we were going. God threw us out, all of us. We're in the same boat. We're out on the open sea. We're foreigners. We're expatriates on the earth. We don't belong here. We've been airdropped into an alien land, enemy territory. We're walking around looking for home. We're like Dorothy in Oz. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. Roof, roof. Shut up, Toto. Shut up. Roof, shut up. My pretty. Yeah, my pretty. How do you like that, Scarecrow? Well, the Scarecrow didn't like it. I don't like it. Woof. Woof. Then there's the Cowardly Lion. But we are brave because we have each other, thank God. So we're not versed where we're going. I wasn't versed. You're not versed, but God has caused us to meet. Throws us in the ocean, and we have met. We have met, and we're supposed to be together, all of us. We're going to ride this thing out. We are a strong people together. Our strength is the strength of Christ. We look around, nothing but weakness. You look internally, nothing but weakness. Surrounded by unbelief, surrounded by people who don't believe in you, think you're nuts, and yet we're together. We're together. And by faith, Abraham sojourns in the land of promise as an alien. Love this word in the Greek. Allotrion, allotrion, A-L-L-O-T-R-I-O-N. This is a great meaning, two-part Greek word. It means change place, change place. My place got changed. I had a place. There's a place for me, and it's not here. It was changed. There was a switcheroo while I was asleep, and I wake up in this foreign land. And people seem to be happy here. And I don't understand it. It's somewhat comforting to know most people are miserable. I'm somewhat thankful for Henry David Thoreau, who said, men everywhere live lives of quiet desperation. Somewhat comforting. Because we all live lives of quiet desperation. How you doing? Fine. How's it going today? Fine. Everything good with the family? Fine. Everybody's fine. Bullcrap. Nobody's fine. You know this. Because you can't give an honest answer to that question. How are things going? I want to die, you know, but I'm getting by. Another day, another holler. I mean dollar, yeah. So, yeah, it's true. Henry David Thoreau was prescient. Well, this is timeless. It's not that he was looking forward to a time where we'd be living so pressed, so pressured. I got to tell you this. People say, this kind of drives me nuts. I'm going to share this with you. Martin, everybody has said that their day is the last day. Everybody has said down through the ages, these are the end times. Well, and so they think that these aren't the end times. And I say, we're the only generation to be right. The pressures of this age are unprecedented. And if you stop and think about it for just a short time, we were riding horses just over 100 years ago. In the late 1800s, we were riding horses. From the time of Adam till 1900, we were on horses. In the last 113 years, look at the progress, look at the technology. Well, I call it anti-progress. Something is happening. If you don't think we're in the end days, you're like the frog that's slowly boiling in the pot. And I've told you this before, anybody that would come from a past era and land here, cold turkey, from like 1400, 1500, even 1899, they would have a nervous breakdown. A freaking nervous breakdown in 5 minutes. We're like the frog slowly boiling in the pot. Oh, we're just the same with any other era. It's all been the same. Life hath continued on from the beginning of time until this. And somebody from 1899, pop him or her into here, and they're having a nervous breakdown in 5 minutes. We're used to the chaos and the turmoil and the pressure and the speed and the confusion and the complexity. The firepower, the killing power. Paul predicted 2 Timothy chapter 3, perilous periods will be present. And they're present with us. And we say it's just like any other era. It's not. There's a reason you're having a bad day. So we're tossed, and yet we're steady because there's a lighthouse. And it's on a shore, and the shore's not moving. And Abraham had this lighthouse, and he looked to it. And the lighthouse that didn't move was a promise of God. And it shone through the thickest fog, because it was the brightest light. And it was immovable. And those are the promises of God. God made promises to the Hebrews, and he made promises to us. He promised them a country, a city, whose artificer and builder was God. He has promised us a country, and it's among the celestials. It's not here. We're in an alien land. Somebody changed our place, and we don't like it. But we put up with it because we have faith and we're hanging on, sometimes by a fingernail. Hey, you know what? That's good enough. You're hanging on by a fingernail? Congratulations. Seriously, congratulations. For he waited for the city having foundations whose artificer and architect is God. And now Sarah, by faith Sarah herself also obtained power. Love this word obtained, lambano in the Greek. It means to get. To get. She obtained power for the disruption of seed and brought forth beyond the period of her prime, since she deems the promiser faithful. Capital P, promiser. Faithful. Wherefore also were begotten by one, and these of one who is deadened. She's deadened according as the constellations of the heaven in multitude. Your offspring, Sarah, are going to be as the constellations of heaven in multitude and as the sand beside the seashore, innumerable. And that promised to you after you're way beyond the years of childbearing. Total impossibility. All hope is lost. Swing low, sweet chariot. That's when you look up, because your salvation draws nigh. And she obtained power, lambano in the Greek, to get. 1 Corinthians 4:7. This was translated obtained again in 1 Corinthians 4:7. For who is making you to discriminate, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4:7. Who are you to boast or to brag that you have something that somebody else doesn't have? You can admit it, you can acknowledge that you have something, for instance, faith and belief that somebody else doesn't have, but why are you discriminating? Why are you prejudiced? Why are you hating the person who doesn't have? Why? Because now what have you which you did not obtain? What do you have that you didn't get, that you didn't lambano? You got it. That's a passive word. You didn't go get it, you got it. It came to you. You obtained it. Proof of that is Paul's next statement. Why are you boasting as though not obtaining? You're boasting like you've not obtained. This is free will. It's a boast. Why are you boasting that you chose God? You didn't choose him. You obtained salvation. It was participatory. I'm getting caught up in these P's here. It's participatory in that you believed, but that belief was given to you. But yes, you said the words, but God impelled the saying. It's the absolute and the relative perspective. God inspired and you did it. You lambanoed. You got it. But the fact that you got it is proven. The fact that that's mainly, it's all passive, really. It's all passive is in the fact that, why are you boasting as though not obtaining? So Sarah obtained power for the disruption of seed. In other words, her fallopian tubes popped a seed, an egg out. That's what that means. Disruption of seed. Her fallopian tubes became energized. Abraham said, "What's the matter, dear?" She said, "I think it's my fallopian tube." And out came the seed. So that happened by the Spirit of God. It was unnatural because she was way beyond the time when her fallopian tubes would be vibrating. And she deemed the promise her faithful. That's why. Wherefore also was begotten by one in these who is dead and according as the constellation. So it's proven true, hasn't it? With hindsight, we can say, yeah, she did produce a child who was Isaac. And he became the father of Jacob. And Jacob became as numerous as the sand of the sea and the constellations. And now, I read this to you yesterday, verse 13, "In faith died all these, not being requited with the promises, but perceiving them ahead and saluting them and avowing that they are strangers and expatriates on the earth. For those who are saying such things are disclosing that they are seeking for a country of their own. And if indeed they remembered that from which they came out, they might have had occasion to go back. Yet now they are craving a better, that is, a celestial. Wherefore God is not ashamed of them to be invoked as their God, for he makes ready for them a city." Tomorrow, there's more on Abraham starting on verse 17. And there's something not mentioned in this account by God that's very interesting, because Abraham did not have perfect faith. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. His faith failed him on several occasions, and he was tardy, and he lacked, and his faith was imperfect, kind of like that guy who Jesus asked, I think he was at the portico of Solomon, "Do you have the faith that I can heal you?" And the guy said, "Sure, Lord, I believe I have faith, but heal my unbelief." In other words, "I do believe, but heal my unbelief." Yes and no is basically what the guy said. "You have faith?" "Yes." And no. Yes and no. Abraham is yes and no. And yet, what is mentioned here are the highlights. Likewise, you. Your faith is yes and no. Do you believe? Yes. And no. Some days I don't. Some days it's hard. And God is going to reckon the little faith you have as righteousness. Little bitty faith? Congratulations. God reckons it as righteousness. Abraham was imperfect. So was Sarah. You're imperfect. Join the club. It's a relaxing place to be.